Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is John Mosley. Hello, John.
Hello.
John is the president of Lincoln University, and the semester's off and running, isn't it, John?
It is. It's in a full sprint already, Gary.
Yeah? How's it going there?
It's been a really good week. You know, it's always fun to get your students back on campus. The energy level of the campus just changes so much with their presence, and so we're working through some of the beginning of the year challenges that many institutions face. You know, one of the hottest weeks on record for the institution, maxing out every air-conditioned unit it seems to be on campus right now. But overall, the students are just dealing with everything. Our faculty and staff has been really teaming together to make sure that we give our students the best experience possible.
All right. So what are we going to see that's new and exciting this year at Lincoln?
Man, it's so many projects taking place on campus. You know, it's been my goal since I became president to get a crane on our campus and to keep it there the entire time that I get to serve in this capacity, because I believe the symbolism of having it means progress. Mm-hmm. And so we're close. Demo should be beginning really at any point in the next couple weeks at Dawson Hall. It'll be a while before stuff starts going back in, but right now the whole thing is to clean it out and gut it really down to the bones. It's got great bones. It's a concrete steel facility that many folks that came in said, it's one of your most sound facilities on our campus, but it needs a complete renovation. And that's a huge $17 to $20 million project, depending upon how quickly they complete it and the cost of everything keeps increasing. We should be announcing the hire of a construction manager very soon for the new Health and Security Sciences Institute. We expect that that'll be a 2 to 3 year project from shovel in the ground to first day of occupying it. And so there's a lot of pre-work that needs to be done probably over the next 6 months before we get to that point. We're hoping, I would realistically think somewhere around the fall of 26, we hope that our School of Nursing is occupying that space and the Emergency Operating Training Center is located there as well. Those are kind of the bigger things. It's been neat. I was walking around downtown yesterday, ran into some of our soccer student athletes. We just brought men's soccer back. We added women's soccer. We brought back baseball. Those coaches have a full year to recruit before they begin competing. And so in some regards, we're already looking forward to the fall of 24 for them. It's a number of things that we were able to do in the 22-23 school year. Now we kind of collectively catch our breath and prepare from a student success standpoint and really try to move the needle from a retention and graduation manner over the next few years. And that's not a light switch. And so for me, that's one of the harder things, because I know there's a problem. We've identified the problem. Now we want to fix it, but it takes a little bit of time for those.
Yeah. Well, and I would imagine my next question is going to be, what are some of the challenges? That's one of the challenges that you're going to face this year.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've got some really neat initiatives in that space. We worked with the Department of Higher Education to pilot a program where we've identified over the last few years, 41% of our students have come in with under a 2.5 high school grade point average. The stats unfortunately show that only 1 in 3 of those students make it to year number 2. And so how can you move your retention rates until you begin to address some of that? And so we started just this summer, we completed a summer bridge program where the students that applied before June 15th that had below 2.5 were required to attend summer bridge. The university absorbed the cost of that program. The students took 4 credit hours, had to earn a C or better. There was 72 students in that program, and 63 of them made it to fall semester. The 9 were encouraged to either join our partner institution, now State Fair Community College, with what we call the Connect Blue relationship. So they had that option, or they could go back home and find a community college or another school and then potentially transfer back one day. And so we've tried to give students different pathways, different ways of getting into Lincoln. And then the last one would be a fall bridge program where students that applied after June 15th or those that chose it as their first option can enroll in the institution in 9 credit hours this fall, kind of dip their toes in to see if college is really what they want to pursue. You know, my belief is that we've got a number of faculty and staff that are willing to work with students as long as they're willing to put the work in and show up and go to class. And there's no helping, you know, the old adage, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. If they're willing to put the time in, I think we've got the resources on our campus to help students succeed.
Yeah, I think sometimes that's a thing that maybe the community doesn't understand. One question would be, why should those students be on campus? But as Lincoln is an open enrollment institution, that's part and parcel with it. What do you think the value of an open enrollment institution is?
It's giving students an opportunity. To be honest, I struggle with it from a moral standpoint. If you can identify that such a great percentage of these students aren't successful, I feel that we have a responsibility as an institution to put them on a path where they can succeed. And so for some of our students that may come to Lincoln, because we are open enrollment, you know, we're exploring avenues. Can we work with partner institutions to expose some of those students to the trades where they don't come out of pocket as much? You know, for me, it's a moral obligation or moral issue when we just take students in to try to get numbers, in my opinion. And then at the end of their first semester or end of their first year, you know, 2 out of 3 of them don't make it. And now we're sending them back to their communities with a transcript that they'll never overcome and a debt that'll take forever to pay off. And so, you know, I think it's a matter of really trying to be creative to see if we can help students get the foundation that they need to be successful. It's unfortunate, but we can talk all day about how did we get to this point, but the education system in many of these students' lives hasn't provided them with the foundation that they need to be successful. Now, we're spending a lot of time on this, but we have a number of students that do tremendous work academically and are just such beacons of hope for the future of our country. And so we want to make sure that we're not forgetting about the students that are qualified, because, you know, in our state, when you look at it across, the average high school GPA for an incoming student to Lincoln is lower, it was in 2020, than any other of the state institutions. I know for many of our alumni who want to be thought about, when you mention schools like Howard and Hampton, A&T, Morehouse, Spelman, and that's one of the big factors that jump right out at you when you begin that conversation, is to say, you know, of the U.S. News and World Report's top 20, there was actually 21 because there was a tie. 19 of those 21, their high school GPA of their incoming class was over a 3.0. Wow. And ours was a 2.6. And so we're all getting measured on the same outcomes, but we're not all starting at the same block. And so that's a challenge for us, and one in which as an institution, we really have to have conversations about how do we move forward.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's commendable, this bridge program that you were talking about earlier, the summer bridge as well as the fall, it's a great opportunity to give a person a chance to really understand what they need to succeed.
Right. This was a concept that was discussed on our campus. The idea itself came from faculty members and just conversations with the president. With the moral issue being taking their money and giving them a transcript, was how do we get them here, make the summer course free so that they don't have costs associated with it in case they're not successful, make it as rigorous as you would expect a college class to be. We don't want an impossible that students can't get through, but we don't want to make it a pass through that if you just show up and come to school here for 3 weeks, we're going to push you through to the fall. The concept for the program was 3 weeks. First week, a lot of hand holding because many of these students are first generation, don't even understand really the difference between going to school from 8 to 3 and the bells ring and change classes to you got to wake yourself up. And so we did some hand holding the first week to make sure students got where they were supposed to. Week 2, we started bagging off of that. And by week 3, the students were really on their own to make sure that they were self-sufficient and getting to where they were supposed to get to. We're fortunate. We have a number of academic resources on our campus. The resources that we have are only beneficial if people take advantage of them. You know, we've got tutors, we've got mentors, we've got writing center. We're working on a math lab right now, but they just sit there all day if nobody shows up. And so trying to convince students to go get help before you need help.
Yeah.
It's just a big challenge for us.
I've got a nephew lives in the St. Louis area that's starting college. And last week I had the opportunity to talk to him, and you could feel his anxiety,
right? Yeah.
Because it was a new world for him, and it was so easy to get discouraged. And I think that's what's intriguing about the Bridge program too, is it offers opportunities for students to get engaged, to get connected.
There's a social component to it as well. Listen, mental health in our country, the conversations that surround it have just really just increased so much, especially since COVID. And we're dealing with the third class now, the second class after COVID, 21, 22, 22, 23. So that group's coming in now. Their educations were paused during that. Everybody went into isolation. You're working through all of that. But there's also this whole, and this is opinionated, this social media component where so many people believe that others have these perfect lives when all of us are imperfect. And so feeling the need to try to keep up or compare your life to somebody else's and think that you're not doing as well. well, you're doing just fine. You just got to stay the course. We have some students that academically were above a 2.5 that want to do the fall bridge for other reasons, such as my son or daughter is just not sure that they want to go to college. This is a good way for them to kind of test it out. But we do other programs. We keep them engaged. There is a study hall component of it where we do require time outside of the classroom where they commit to completing their work, because it's hard enough, I think, for prepared college students. When you get that first taste of freedom, nobody's asking you if you had homework when you go into right. your residence hall room at night, whereas you may have had that at home. And so, you know, the first semester of college is always difficult. But when you're the first in your family to ever go to a university, that in and of itself presents so many challenges. And so what can we do as an institution to try to ease some of those burdens and to assist our students? It's really important, I think, to ensure that we give them every chance we can to succeed.
Yeah. In the hope that then it turns a switch on and that it becomes so much more apparent.
It does, right? And so, you know, I think the data will support if you can keep them around for a little bit and they have a little bit of success, then they start to seek more. You know, there's a lot of data involving engagement outside of the classroom. You know, what activities do you have? How do you keep them attached to the university other than just going and sitting in a 50-minute class? We've done things like we brought the bowling alley back to campus. We reopened it in January of 23. It had been closed since COVID. We had to spend some money to renovate some stuff, but I feel like that's important, because for anybody listening that has teenagers, if you don't give them anything to do, they're going to find something to do. And what they find is often less productive than what you want them to be doing. And so what can we do from our student affairs office, student engagement? What can we do? What kind of other than just, you know, a party and, hey, it's college, we want them to have a good time. But aside from a social event, what can we do to help prepare them for interviews or connect them to potential mentorships or internships? What can we do to engage them? That's been a bit of our conversation this summer.
Well, and that leads me to my next question. There's a symbiotic relationship between Lincoln and the community. How would you assess the relationship?
It's grown so much. I'm aware of the history. It's funny, I've never been a big fan of history, but as I've gotten older, the appreciation for what's taken place, you know, one of the benefits of learning history is to ensure that you don't repeat it. And I know that at different times in this university's existence, there's been times where the community really wanted to support the university and the university kind of said, we're okay. And then there's been years where the president or the university wanted support and the community's like, okay. I think we've kind of caught some synergy. And I think that's part of the reason that I had this opportunity to be the university's president is because of relationships here really across the Lincoln spectrum, but especially here in Jefferson City. Gary Plummer and the chamber came to me in my first week as interim and said, hey, we want to help you. And they launched a paid internship program, which has been extremely beneficial to our students because for many of them, they're resource challenged and they would have to make a decision. Do I go and get a part-time job or do I go and do an internship and not get paid for it? And the benefit of paid internships is students get a chance to do both. They get to work in a potential career field of their choosing while also putting some money in their pocket. And for some of them, they come out of that experience and go, I'm dead set. This is exactly what I want to do. And some go, yeah, after that internship, I can't see myself doing that for a career. But it's really important for our students. And I think it's been beneficial. The number of local employers who've come back and said, hey, we really enjoyed. We had a great student. We had a great experience. And they've continued to sign up semester after semester. And that program, I'm sure, will be launching here over the next few weeks. And it's a full process. The businesses come in. They set up shop in our ballroom. They get a chance to interview the students. Students get to, apply for 3 different internships. They go around. They conduct their interviews. And then they get offered the internship, they start their position, and then there's a program at the end. Really, really beneficial. I think more folks could probably reach out to the chamber and become part of that. But I like to tell people now, everybody wants interns. Much like the real estate market is a seller's market right now, it's an interns market.
It is.
And so businesses really have to be creative about what makes your business attractive to a potential intern, a potential employee. We've been faced with that as an employer. You know, what separates you? Because everybody's offering something now.
Absolutely. And you're right. The quality of the internship really matters, right? It can either inspire or deter a student.
Absolutely.
So what are things that you think that would improve the relationship between the community and Lincoln? What are aspirational things we should be considering as partners in this community?
You know, I think the big thing is, there's actually a couple of things I've mentioned. I think one is just, you know, a number of our students don't frequent our downtown. I think it's important for all of us to keep in mind that when we visit spaces, it's just human nature to be comfortable in spaces that are occupied by people that look like us. Mm-hmm. And so it really forces you to be intentional, to get out of your comfort zone, to engage people that are different. And so, you know, a number of our local businesses have expressed the desire to say, hey, we want Lincoln students. And so just trying to get people to understand the impact of that first 10 seconds in an exchange and whether or not people feel welcome in certain environments is really important. I think that's something that many people don't like to talk about, but it has to be talked about.
Sure.
I use this platform to share that because oftentimes I'm in a unique position because when I go to visit our alums in St. Louis and Kansas City, it's exact opposite of what many of our students' experiences are in Jefferson City. So I'm keenly aware of that. The next thing is, as our community continues to talk about the housing issue, it's impacting our university. I've got way too many employees at the university that are commuting from Columbia because they can't find adequate housing in Jefferson City. And so I've said here recently, many people think about this affordable housing conversation as strictly low-income housing, but there's a housing need in our community for middle income. You know, I have a number of employees making $40,000 to $90,000 that can't find adequate rental property. And obviously we know that the real estate market, there's not a number of houses for sale. And so we've got to, hopefully as a community, we come together to begin to address that issue.
Well, and I will say one thing that has, I think, helped improve the relationship that just needs to continue to grow are activities on campus that are open to the public, that the public can really benefit from the programming, the events that are there as well.
Absolutely. You know, we host Learning and Retirement on our campus. I think that's weekly that some group is there in that space, and then periodically the entire group comes in for sessions. There's a number of civic organizations that come on our campus to have meetings. In fact, on my way down here today, I got a call to see if we would host one in October. And if we can accommodate it, we're going to do that. We want people to know that our community is open and people are welcome. Gary, I'm a pretty passionate guy. I hear a lot of stuff. I hear a lot of noise. Our community is as safe as any college community, any college, any university. It's this myth that exists that seems to be around the institution for years and years and years. But I was a student at an institution about 30 minutes from here, and I got the same notifications when bad things happen, bad people do bad things at all places. And so it doesn't increase the likelihood one bit that if you visit our campus that anything's going to happen to you that couldn't happen to you at a parking lot in any location in this community. And so getting past that myth, because for the people that do come out, when people come out to basketball games at night and they have a great experience, it changes their belief about some of that stuff that sits out there. That's just completely false. But it's a fear that people have mentioned throughout the course of time. But we've got Gary Hill and the Lincoln University Police Department. They're first class. And so we have a very, you can tell from the crime numbers. I think you've talked about that on this over in the past. You know, our numbers have gone down. Gary's done a good job of community policing, which is what I think every law enforcement agency aspires to do. And our police officers know our students.
Yeah.
Listen, I think many people, many of your listeners, again, would agree much of the trouble that we have on our campus around major events isn't done by Lincoln University students. It's others that may come here from other areas and cause some problems and, you know, give us a bad reputation. And so we're aware of that. So we want to demystify this belief that our community is not welcome. There's a number of people. I get to see a group of ladies every morning. They walk our campus. It's an older couple that walks it in the morning. It's about four or five ladies that seem that they time it up so that when I'm getting out of the car for work, I get to say good morning to them. And I don't know any of them, but it's been awesome to see them do this over a number of years now. You know, now the Marching Musical Storm's back out practicing, so all of our neighbors can hear them at all times of day, and that's always fun. And so, again, we want this community to know we're Jefferson City's university. I believe that a better Lincoln University means a better Jefferson City, so.
All right. Great note to end it on there, John. So thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.